I have a burden for people that's in grief. The Lord spoke to me, and some of you heard me tell this, the Lord spoke to me about, I don't know, several weeks before he took Rebecca. And after I had prayed hard another time for her healing, he spoke to me and he said, "What if I want to take her?" Well, I was speechless. I didn't know what to say, except as I got my wits about me, I said, "Lord, thy will be done." About 2 weeks after that, I was in the kitchen one evening, and the Lord spoke to me again. He said, "Your ministry is fixing to make a change." What that change has been is I have a burden for the bereaved. I can see things, I can hear things of bereavement, know things of bereavement, and come to tears very easily because of the burden that I have for the bereaved. This message is connected with that somewhat. But the way he's put it together, the end of it will bring it all together, I believe, if the Lord will help us to do that. It'll bring it together, and it should be for everybody in this room before it's all over with. So we desire your prayers. We need your help. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Again, I beg for your prayers. I need your help. The 9th chapter of Hebrews, where I want to start, the 27th verse, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment." Now, death has been around for many, many years. Matter of fact, let's go to Genesis, the 4th chapter, and talk about the first actual murder, but it was death. The death of Abel by Cain. And I'm not going to read it all, but talks about Cain being born, talks about Abel being born, talks about their vocation, so to speak. And the Lord, in the 6th verse, 4 and 6 of Genesis, he says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked to Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." Now, as far as I know, this right here is the first death in the Bible. So death has been around since the very beginning, so to speak. Maybe not the very beginning, but almost the very beginning. So death is something that we as a people has had to put up with for years and years and years. It's not something new. It's something that has been with us. It's something that you and I are going to have to deal with. Everybody in this room, no doubt, over a period of time, your lifetime, you'll have to deal with death. You'll have somebody die. You'll have something that you'll have to deal with in connection with grief. You'll have to work with that and work through that. It may start as a child with an animal. It may start as a child with a wound or a hurt. It may start as a child with something, but you will begin to deal with your first grief because of a loss, because of a pain of a death of something or somebody. You will deal with that. So death is something that's been around. This congregation has been hard hit with death. It has had one of the hardest hits that I've known of in 40-something years I've been coming here. It has been a hard hit. The only time I know of maybe more is back in about 1990, when we had about 6 funerals from the end of November down to the first few days of May. There was a lot of loss right in there. But the thing about that was most of them were older people. The deal now is a loss that Guthrie has had and others have had is the fact that there are so many young people involved in this. Some in their prime, some that were in positions to be great, continue to be great blessings to the Church of God down through the years. The Church of God, we're not the only time we've had people, the Lord has taken children, young people, young marriage, and different things all the way down through the years. So this is not anything new. Death has been around for a long time. Grief is something that you and I are going to have to deal with till we get to the end of life. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this a judgment." Death is real. Grief is real. Grief is real today, but everybody handles it different. Everybody handles grief differently. No two people go through it alike. It is something that is painful. If you've never gone through the depths of the pain of losing a companion, going through a divorce, or I would say losing a child, those three things in my book would be some, if not the hardest grief you can suffer. It is something that will take you and rip you up one side, go down the other side. It'll rip you every way but loose. It'll leave you in such emotions. It'll leave you in such pain. It'll leave you in such agony. The fact is that the pain that you carry in your body for months and months and months and months is because of the depth grief. Because when God takes a companion from you and He takes that one that you love, that one that you enjoyed life with, that one that you bonded with and worked with and labored with, poured your heart out with, helped them and they helped you all down through the years. When the Lord takes that, it's like ripping you totally in two. Grief is real, but everybody handles it differently. Grief is God's way of healing the heart. All those emotions that come out. There's two things in reading and studying on grief that I've found. There's two things they tell us to do is cry it out and talk it out. Cry it out and talk it out. Cry. Do you think you can cry no more? And then you'll cry some more. It'll all start over again. It'll do it over and over and over and over. The Lord has that way of healing. That's part of the healing package. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Like I said, stay with me. Pray for me. Because I've got a point that I'm driving to in all of this. And you won't understand it till we get down to the end of the road. 2 Corinthians 2 and 7, it says this, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow, lest he should be overwhelmed by the excess of sorrow, lest perhaps he be driven to despair by his excess of grief, else he be overwhelmed by despair. Now, grief is a killer. I believe there have been people down through the years that grief has actually killed. It's on a birth certificate of someone that I know that it said they died of a broken heart 2 years and 20 days after their companion died. Grief is a killer. But the bottom line is the Lord this morning is able to help us. Genesis 37:33. Let's turn there, please. 37 and 33. And he knew it. Now this is dealing with the loss of Joseph. And the brothers took his coat back that he had, they dipped it in the coat in blood and made it appear that he had been killed by a wild animal, and they retrieved the coat, the children did, and they brought it back to dad. And 33rd verse here said, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave, unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now, this would be a hard blow. The one over here in Corinthians basically is dealing with spiritual of what they had done to him. But the bottom line is, there is people out there that is overcome with overmuch sorrow. They don't know what to do with it, really. The only way a person can really get through grief and get through it right is by the Lord. God has got to help people. He's got to help them. He's got to work with them. And so he's telling him, comfort this man. Comfort him. Work with him. Deal with him because of the fact that he could be overcome with sorrow. He would be overwhelmed with sorrow. And here, Joseph said the point there. He said that
I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. In other words, he'll mourn the rest of his life for his son. That's what he's talking about. He's going to mourn the rest of his life. It's horrible. It's hard. It is something that he found overwhelming. And he was going to just put it out. He wept. He cried. He poured out his heart. He done it over and over. It went on for years. He thought his son would be killed by this animal or beast. And he wasn't. But he didn't know that for many, many years. But the bottom line was Joseph, the son was prepared or taken care of by the Lord. Now then, let's go to Luke. Well, I want to go back a minute. You think about Adam and Eve. You think about what it would be like for you to lose a child by another child. Now that'd be hard to fathom in your mind, I know, but the bottom line is what I'm saying, that'd be pretty hard grief. That would be something you'd be grieving for one, and then you'd have feelings, you'd deal with emotions on the other side that you normally would not have to deal with. But the bottom line is, he one killed the other, and mom and daddy's ripped and torn on both sides. They've got a double joint of grief is what that amounts to. They've got a horrible joint of grief. They're having to deal with something that people don't normally deal with. Now then, this is my point. God said in the Bible, God is a God of all comfort. He had to work with that. He sent judgment on Cain. But the bottom line is he had to help Adam and Eve. He had to work with them. He had to bless them. He had to comfort them. Listen, folks, God's been in the comfort business all the way from the very beginning. He knows how to comfort people. He knows how to work with people. And consequently, Adam and Eve was in a real horrible situation. It takes power from God. It takes grace from God. There's healing grace. There is power and working by the Spirit of God. But the bottom line was he had to help them. So he's been doing healing. He's been doing helping. He's been doing comforting for a long time. Let's go to Luke the 7th chapter. Luke the 7th chapter. Let's deal with Christ in a couple of cases here where he worked with people that were bereaved. 7 and 11 of Luke. Came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain. Many of the disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Listen to the way this reads. There was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. Much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He that was dead sat up and began to speak. He delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Now here's Christ in the flesh, on the scene, comforting somebody. Comforting. Now this was a only son. His mother was a widow. Had no husband. Had nobody to prop her up, so to speak, to comfort her, to work with her. And they was carrying the child out, or the young man out to bury him outside of the city there. And they was making their trek and so forth, and up walked Jesus. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. Now then, let's look at this a moment in the fact that if this young man was the only income for this mother, what do you think her grief was? What do you think her anguish was? Now I'm putting hypothesis or whatever you want to call it out there, but the bottom line was this woman was in some real deep grief. No doubt she was suffering and suffering. Her husband was gone. Listen, folks, when you lose that companion, the one you want to comfort you is the one that's laying in the grave. The one you want by your side, the one you want to help you walk through all this grief and sorrow, that one's gone. That one that had been with her, that had helped her, he was gone. He was no longer there. The son, he was the one that had been her darling and with her, and now he's gone. She was to the place where she had nobody or nothing, and consequently, no doubt her grief was quite great, quite deep. And the Lord walked up and he looked on the scene and he had compassion on her. Now, Jesus, he looked this situation over. Listen, folks, he's still looking the situations over today. He's still looking. He still knows. He still understands. When you and I are touched with grief, when he knows the weight of the thing that is on us, he understands it. He's looking the situation over, and he was looking at here, and he come over and he told her, said, "Weep not. Don't weep anymore. I'm going to heal. I'm going to bring back from the dead." And he done that. He raised this young man up alive. All right, let's go to another familiar text. Go to John, the 11th chapter. Here's Mary and Martha and Jesus and Lazarus. In the 19th verse, John 11 and 19, he said, "Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." Now then, this is something that ought to happen. People ought to comfort people. What have you done for the bereaved lately? Have you sent a card? Have you sent a text or a phone call? Have you sent a letter? You invite them over for dinner? Have you taken them out to dinner? Have you spent time with them? Listen today, folks, I want to tell you something. In my situation, there was a child of a minister and his wife. This child sent me at least two cards. I'm talking about a child 4 or 5 years old. I'm not talking about a teenager. I'm not talking about somebody older. I'm talking about a child that's quite small. And she sent me two cards. She could not even write it. But by the help of the Lord, I was able to read what she wrote. And she let me know, "I love you, I'm praying for you," and so forth. "I'm sorry that you've lost Aunt Rebecca," or sister, not Aunt Rebecca, but Sister Rebecca. "I'm sorry you've lost your companion." She sent me two of those. One night the telephone rang. I looked down, the minister's name came up on the screen. I thought, well, get to talk to him. And I answered the phone. It was her on the phone. She said, "I want you to know that I love you. I'm praying for you, and I'm sorry." Now listen, folks, I know trying to give condolences sometimes to a bereaving person, you don't know what to do. You absolutely can be in a state of shock yourself. And right around this area, we've had such shocks and stunning things that probably people are sitting there going, "What do I say? What do I do?" And you don't know, and I understand that. But the bottom line is, it's better to do something than not to do anything. If a child can send me a card, if teenagers can send me cards, and they're not grown up, they don't have the experience that others do, if they can send something and do something, you and I can do it too. You and I can reach out. You and I can say, "I love you." You and I can say, "I'm praying for you." You and I can say, "I'm sorry." You and I can say, "Come over to dinner. Go out with me." Listen, the loneliness drives you crazy when you have nobody around, basically, close by. It's horrible. I could preach all day and all night and not get you to understand the horrors that you go through in this stuff. But the bottom line is, if a child can do it, can't we do it? Can't you send a card? Can't you make a phone call? Can't you do something to help a bereaved? You say, "Well, after a few months, ain't no big deal." Yeah, it is too. After a year, ain't no big deal. Yeah, it is too. There's a person right here in this crowd that sends cards ever so often. And the reason that person does is because they understand the agony. They understand the pain. And so they reach out and send cards and do things to try to help the people to know, "I'm praying for you. I'm sorry and I love you." And I appreciate that. I'm sure the others that they send cards to, it's not just one person, it's several. But the bottom line is, many of the Jews came to Mary, Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Now this had been going on a long time, folks.
And if I'm anything, I'm an advocate for the bereaved to help them in every way I can. I want to charge the church to help them too. I want to challenge you. I want to stir you if I can do it. Young people, you can do it. Middle-aged, young married, you can do it. Older people, you can do it. You can send those cards. You can make those phone calls. You can say, I love you. I'm praying for you. You can say, I'm behind you. You can say, come over and see me. You can do these things. And somebody said, well, I don't know what to say when they get there. You don't have to. Just let them do all the talking. You'll be blessed, and they will too. You don't have to say anything, except I know it must hurt deeply. I know you must be in a lot of anguish and a lot of pain. There's people sitting here know what I'm talking about. They've gone through it too. The bottom line is the Jews come to comfort Martha and Mary. And that was fine. That's good. But now then, let's get down to the 31st verse here. And there's somebody else showed up on the scene too, and his name was Jesus. Jesus showed up on the scene. Now Jesus, 30th verse, 11:30 of John. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out. Martha told her that Jesus had come, the master caller for the end, so forth, trying to redeem time, followed her saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now then, Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, I loved him. This is the shortest, and if not one of the powerfulest, it's very powerful scripture of Jesus and his humanity right here. Jesus showed that he wasn't just God only, but he was God in the flesh. He had feelings, he had compassion, he had wants to reach out and touch and to help and to heal. Now the thing of it was, Lazarus was his friend too. This wasn't just a deal where Christ showed up on the scene and never knew him. He had been in these people's homes. He had worked with them, no doubt. He had preached to them, talked to them, visited them, sat by them, so to speak. He had eaten with them. He had spent nights in their homes. He had been with them. Lazarus was his friend. It wasn't like he was just anybody walking down the street. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Don't you know that the tears of Mary and Martha touched him? It said there, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. It touched him deeply that this sister was at a place of great grief. Both of them, not just one, but both of them. And he was touched. He was touched to the depths of everything he had. Said he wept. He wept. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1. One and one, 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now then, here,
It said he's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. God of all comfort. Not part of, not some of. Somebody say, well, their situation is so severe, I don't know how to help them. Christ never had to turn anybody to anybody else for any help, because he's a God of all comfort. That means everything. And he's able to touch you and work with you no matter what your situation might be. He's a God of all, complete, in every way comfort. He knows how to comfort. He knows how to work. He knows how to talk. He knows what to do. No matter how much anguish you're suffering, no matter how deep in the trials and tribulations, the grief, no matter what it might be. Somebody said, well, he don't know this, he don't know that. He knows how to comfort you, because he's a God of all comfort. He can do anything you need him to do. Reach out to him. The only thing he can't, he will not maybe, well, he just touches you and comforts you no matter what. The bottom line is, he knows how to help you. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe he is able to comfort? Said he's the Father of all mercies. Listen, mercy flows from him. Mercy comes from him. He is the Father of it. He is the one that started it, so to speak. And it says there, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He started back there with Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve. I know Adam and Eve, they get their knocks what they did in the garden, and I'm not going to lessen that effect, but I've got more blessings, or blessings in the fact that he also had to move in and help them at this time. The God of all comfort. He's had years and years of working in all types of situations. One of the icons in the grief business is a man by the name of Doug Manning. He's out of Oklahoma City. He started back in the 70s with dealing with grief. And it was all because a couple in his congregation, he was a pastor, he was on the East Coast on a vacation. A couple of the congregation had a child that got sick, and bottom line, the child died quickly and suddenly in the hospital, left the mother and the father in a state of shock, the doctors in shock. And so the mother backed up, she was wailing, she was almost inconsolable, and the doctor got on one side, the husband got on another, and you're going to calm down and so forth and so forth. She backed up and said, I deserve it and I'm going to get it. You're not going to take my grief from me. Whatever we do, folks, don't take grief away from somebody. Don't even try to take it away. To make statements of one person made the statement, you know, Rebecca wouldn't want you grieving over her. That's not something to say to a person that's in the depths of grief. And there are different statements. You can use biblical scriptures. I don't know, that haven't do me so much that way. But there are people that use biblical scripture to let people know, try to comfort them, and all they're doing, they're adding fire upon fire. In other words, they're making it worse. God don't do that. He's the God of all comfort. He is able to do what you need him to do in any time, any place, any hour, 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 1 a.m., when you can't sleep and the agony and the grief is so deep. He's a God of all comfort. He can be there when nobody else is there. He can visit you at any time that he needs to. Listen, folks, he's there. He's a God of all comfort to help you this morning. Who comfort us in all our tribulation. All, every bit of it. What are you battling? What are you suffering with this morning? What are you going through? The Lord wants to comfort you. 2 Corinthians 7 and the 4th verse here, I think it is, said, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. When we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, wherein were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comfort us by the coming of Titus. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down. Are you cast down this morning? Are you hurting this morning? Are you feeling despondent? The Lord is able to work with that. Let's go to Isaiah 51. Right here is my basic text, right here. 51 and 1 of Isaiah. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye were digged. Look unto Abraham your father, Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like a garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, you people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. And then over here in the 11th verse of this same chapter. Well, let's go to the 9th verse. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake. As in the ancient days and generations old, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Now then, he says, over here in the one place he said, the Lord shall comfort Zion. Here in the 12th verse he said, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched out the heavens, stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundation of the earth, and has feared continuously every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Thank you. He were ready to destroy, and where is the fury of the oppressor? Now then, back in the beginning of this Reformation, they had death back then. They had power with God then. They were living close to God. They had many miracles. They had things that happened all down through the years. But folks, if you go back and run it back, there was people died in those days too. There was people that come to the place, even as, if you want to say, as powerful as the church of God was in the beginning, they still had death among them. So somebody said, well, we're really suffering in this deal. I can see where you're coming from, but the bottom line is this. Death is being among us. But the bottom said, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. Listen, folks, he's not only able to deal with us. And over here, I, even I, will comfort you. He deals on an individual basis, but he also deals on the whole church. Praise God. He has her on her shoulder. He has the power. He has the comfort. He has the work. Listen, folks, today, he shall comfort. It's not he might do it. He'll think about it. He said, I, even I. That makes it very personal this morning, that he will comfort you and I, that he will bless you and I, that he will work with you and I down through the times, whether it takes weeks, months, or maybe a year or two. The Lord is going to comfort you and bless you and help you. He said, the Lord shall. He's going to do it. It's not something he'll think about. It's something he'll come on the scene. It's times that you may not totally know and understand, and God walk up and maybe you not totally understand, and he'll touch you and comfort you. He can use people to do it. One night I was in great agony in mind, spirit, soul, heart. I was weeping and wailing. Wasn't too long after she died, and I let you do it like this. I raised up both hands, and I looked straight up to heaven. I said, oh God, can you help me? Can you please help me, Lord, please? I thought I was going to die from the pain. And the Lord sent a call. a call. A brother called me within a few moments of that request, and he worked with me and worked with me the rest, however long it took, I don't know how long, and it began to subside and begin to go down. So God can comfort people in various ways. He uses His scriptures. He touches with His scriptures. He uses them. I've heard different ones speak. He also tells some of the very same things to everyone that's lost a loved one, whether it be a child, whether it be a companion or a mother or a father. He moves on the scene. I, listen, we have a personal comforter, folks. He's not just anybody. Doug Manning's a great man. He's listened to thousands of people. He is such an icon. When the Twin Towers went down in New York, they called him to come. When the deal in Oklahoma City, he was right there. He was called, he's heard, he's talked to, he gives grief seminars, he's wrote 30-something books. He has, one of them sold millions of copies, I understand. But listen, folks, that man don't even know who I am. But God knows who I am. God knows who you are. And He's in the comforting business. He can get out on the level that you live on. Sometimes we think, well, they don't just understand me. And maybe people don't understand you. But I will comfort you. He understands you, praise God. And He knows how to help you. He knows how to comfort you this morning. Scriptures. Scriptures. His word, blessed by the Spirit, can be a great comfort. The one morning he spoke to me, and I was bawling over her age. She was only 59. Lord, she was only 59. I was sobbing and crying over that. And he spoke to me and he said, "Child, age does not matter to me. It's eternity that counts. It's eternity that counts. What Christ died for was to get us all to heaven, to deliver us and to bless us and to work with us and to take us all the way from point A to point Z and then say, 'Come home, my child, be with me, live in heaven, be with the family, be with the saints, be with the angels and the glory and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Come on up here.' He died that we might make heaven, and age does not matter to Him." There's some in here lost, some at younger ages, some at older ages. But the bottom line was, if they made heaven, folks, it's worth it. And they made heaven, and then he said, I will comfort you. I'm going to do it. You're my child. Listen, folks, if he's the one that took that one, if he put you together with your companion, if he bonded you, what God had joined together, let man not put asunder. There's a bonding, there's a joining. I can't totally understand it, but the bottom line is, when he puts a husband and wife together, there's a union there that the only way to really break it is death. And when it does, it is so painful that God is the only one that can totally comfort to the depths. He can comfort when nobody else can comfort. One person said that another person told them one time, "Let the Lord heal you from within." So when they was going through the severe grief they were going through, they would cry out. When they would start crying and weeping, they would say, "Lord, send me some fresh comfort." And said the Lord would do it over and over and over. "Send fresh comfort. I want fresh comfort." And he would do it. I. Listen, folks, people want to brag on their doctors and their lawyers and their psychiatrists and their psychologists. They want to lift them up. Listen, folks, today we've got a God in heaven that is able to do what none of them can do, praise God. There's not Dr. Joyce Brothers herself had a great psychology, was known, had a TV show, I believe, a radio show. She was known all over. But when she lost her companion, she was laying in bed one night and she rolled over and went to reach for him and he wasn't there. And she goes, "The pain was so horrific." She knew. She said, "I counseled people for years on grief and didn't know what it was like myself." Doug Manning was the same way. He wrote this book. He hurt thousands of people. But after 53 years, his sweetheart died and went on. He learned some things then he didn't know. Because, folks, you can tell people over and over and over, and you wouldn't understand it if we spent hours telling you the pain, the horrific pain, The horror, the agony that you go through sometimes hour after hour after hour because of the death grief, because of that sweetheart is gone. That one that loved you. But he said, I am he that comforteth you. Listen, folks, we're his church, we're his people. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. You're his child. He's going to touch you. He's going to bless you. The Lord shall comfort Zion. Now, basically, part of this is spiritual. But I don't believe I'm taking it out of context in any of these scriptures when I line it up on the part of healing the heart, because this is all part of it. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Thank the Lord, he's been working with his people all the way down through the ages, from Adam and Eve all the way from now. And he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. All right, now then, let's go to Lamentations 2. Lamentations 2. And I want to wrap this up, and I beg for your prayers as we do it. Lamentations, the second chapter, the 10th verse. The elders of the daughters of Zion sat upon the ground and kept silence. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. This is a very pathetic scene right here. Listen to what this reads. My eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the suckling swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mother, where is corn and wine? When they swooned as the wounded in the street of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. What thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee, that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thy iniquity, turned away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes and banishment. And all that pass by clap their hands at thee, and they hiss and they wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? What this is getting to as a bottom line is Jerusalem was at the bottom of the barrel. They couldn't get any lower than what they were. It was their own fault. God had sent the prophets. He had warned them. He had talked to them. He had dealt with them down through the years, and they had done things and got themselves into a great mess. But it says there in the end of the 13th verse, he said, O virgin daughter of Zion, for thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Who can heal thee? We have a country today, folks, if you just look at it, it's at the bottom of the barrel. We can't get much worse than what we are in the sense of the word. Gay marriage, homosexuality, sin, lust, all of this is rampant through our world today. We are in a spiritual, I'm not talking about the church now, I'm talking about the world. We as a world are in a spiritual depravity that has put us into a place where spirits are running wild and rampant in every way. The Lord has warned, the Lord has called, the Lord has sent great, great dealings and meetings and everything down through the years. There have been great revivals right here in America and over in England, overseas. God has shook people up, but the bottom line was they didn't allow the Lord to keep doing what he wanted to do. They began to walk away from the light, and when they did, now we've got into a state where the bulk of everybody has no light anymore. Who can heal thee? We have got people. Now then, Brother Doug was preaching last night. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is great, raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If I had the money, I would buy every person, or at least every family in the United States, one book. And that is the ABCs of alcoholism. That book was a great eye-opener to me in a sense of the fact that Mother used to tell me things, and I listened to her, and I guess I wondered, is it really true what she's saying? But I'm going to tell you this, people that wrote this book backed it up. There are people that had an alcoholic place that worked with alcoholics and worked with them, a mission, and they reached out, they tried to save, they tried to do various things, and they told story after story after story of what these people went through. One young lady was married to a man. He went out to party. He got drunk. He come home. She was sitting on the porch when the neighbors next door had their little child, just a few months old. He come in and she said, well, said, I think I better get over there with my husband. She didn't want to anger him. She didn't want to upset him in any way. She went over there. He took the child out of her arms and he went in the house and he laid it on the kitchen cabinet and he took a butcher knife and he killed the child right there. He done what ISIS has been doing to human beings. He cut the child's head off. When he come to realization, when he come back to really know what he done, they said he nearly went crazy. Is that something you'd want to have anything to do with? Something that would make you where you're not even knowing what you're doing? That's what Brother Doug was so warning and all that he preached last night. Now then, our country is to the depths of the bottom. And it said, who can heal thee? Who can heal thee? Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In Psalms 147:3 says, He healeth the broken in heart and binds up the wounds. Today, there's death and there's grief. There's a God of comfort for that grief. But then on the other end of the scenario, there's a healing by Christ that only Christ can do. Christ is the only one that can set this country back on course. He's the only one that can heal, deliver, and bring out of the depths of melodrums and all the pain and the anguish, all the homosexuality, all the drinking, all the drugs, all this legalized marijuana in Colorado and different places, all the corruption that's going on. He is the only one that is able. He said, I'm sent. I am sent to do this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. He come to deliver. He come to raise up. He come to do what nobody else could do. Praise God. His mission was to make a plan of salvation, to deliver people, to bring them up and out of the mess of the horrible pit, to set them on a solid rock, to establish their goings, put a new song be in their mouth, even praise be unto God. Many shall sin and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Listen, folks, today He is the only one that is able to do that, and He was sent to do it. He was sent to deliver. He was sent to heal. Now there's a comforting. There's a comforting by the Spirit of God, but there's also a healing by the Spirit of God. A real healing. Now then, I don't know what you want to call them. People that have studied grief for several years have come to the conclusion that there is what they call They used to call it mental health professionals is identifying a condition that where people never got over grief. They grieved on the rest of their life. They grieved on and they grieved on, and they call it complicated grief. He said the estimate is that about 10% of the bereaved people experience complicated grief. I couldn't see any way of going on without Chris, said Bridewell, now 64. Years after her death, she spent days on end in her home in San Diego crying. This kind of stuff is real, folks. This kind of stuff is something that does happen in a percentage of the population. They said 10%. But I don't totally accept that. For the bottom line is, said he come to heal the brokenhearted. Now that's spiritual what that's talking, but again, I think I can tie the two together. This morning, Jesus come to heal everybody's heart. He come to deliver everybody. But as you're his child, he's a comforter. But listen, folks, he goes further than that. I had heard about it. I understood it. And one man told me one night, and we were talking on the phone. Four or five months, I don't remember how long it was. He told me, he said, I believe you'll get to the point, Brother Carl, you want to get out of this. You'll want to be through with all the weeping and the wailing. You'll want to be through with all the pain and the agony. He knew what he was talking about. He said, I believe you'll want to get there. Well, I really didn't to a point, because I wanted to suffer all the way through the holidays and so forth up to at least 1 year where that I could feel the pain that other people had feeling. So I didn't do what the one person said, Lord, send me fresh comfort. I didn't do that. I asked for prayer. I called for prayer. I begged the Lord to help me, and he did. But the bottom line is I had a reason for doing to myself what I'd done. But I knew after 1 year that if the Lord didn't bring an end to it, I was going to ask for prayer. And on the 25th day of December of 2013, he touched me. And he healed me. He took away that pain. He took away those tears. He took away that agony. And I didn't even, to be honest about it, I didn't even know what had happened. At first, it was about the middle of January. I was sitting and praying and meditating one morning, and it dawned on me what he had done. I've been keeping a daily log. Didn't cry, didn't cry, didn't cry, didn't cry, didn't cry. I had it all wrote down. And then it dawned on me. He's healed me. The pain is gone. The agony's gone. The suffering's gone. I couldn't believe it. But he had done something that nobody else could do. Man can't do you that, folks. Man cannot take that away from you. Man cannot heal your broken heart. Those that are suffering on the anguish of grief, listen, there's healing this morning. Those that are suffering on the angles of disappointment, of childhood problems, of things maybe I don't want to get too plain here, but there is people today that is in the world that has been treated wrong by family, fathers to daughters and fathers to sons, without getting too plain, and have done that down through the year. Those children carry it. There's been coaches that done wrong to children. There's been different grandparents and so forth. There's agony. There's grief. These people cover this up for years. They carry it and they carry it. Listen, folks, Jesus come to heal you. He come to deliver you. He come to bless you. He said to heal the brokenhearted. He said, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me. Listen, folks, mankind needs that. Mankind needs somebody that can heal them of the anguish, of the pain. There is people that is crying on their pillows right now. Well, I say right now, at night anyway, that have got some of this stuff in their background. It's been dealt with. I know of one case been dealt with right at the altars here in Guthrie of a person that had something happen to them way back, and some was dealing with it, and they were working and so forth. And that young person had something happen way back, and it's only Jesus that can heal them of that. He can heal you. What do you have this morning? What are you suffering from this morning? Some people carry things for years that you don't even have to carry. You can get it healed. You can get delivered from it. You can get blessed from it. The Lord will take care of it. He will take care of it. He is able to do it. He can heal a person that has a broken heart from grief. And He can heal a person that is brokenhearted in any other way. Any way you need this morning, He understands. There was a person that come to the altar. Might have been Monarch. Was here, Monarch 1. Best I remember. The old general went down there, and Sister Salmons and they were dealing with this young lady. And she knew something was wrong, but she didn't maybe just totally know all about it. She had a great family. She was well taken care of and so forth. It wasn't any of that. But there was something in there that she needed help with. She didn't really know what to tell him. But Brother Salmon said he had a vision when they were praying. And in the vision, he seen her heart. And in that heart, back up in that heart, he said he saw some dust. And he said then he saw the blood coming down. And he said he just saw it coming down. He said it just come up under here and it washed right through that area and washed it all totally clean. And he said when it was through, she was healed. She was blessed. She was delivered. Whatever you want to call it. She had it. Praise God. She had it and she still got it. And she's a blessing to the church today. Listen, he sees any dust, any dirt, any grime. He sees any filth. He sees anything that you have in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And he said, to heal, to bless, to deliver. To work with you. He wants to help you this morning. He wants to help you. To set at liberty. He wants to free you. There is people that is in the prison house of sin that he wants to set you out. He wants to send you into the joy and the blessings. 17 and 14 of Jeremiah in closing. It said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Heal me. Folks, let's reach out to him for healing. You've been in this meeting. You've heard things. The Lord has been working with you down through the meeting. Maybe you put off getting help. Maybe you decide, no, I can get by, and so forth. Listen, folks, the Lord understands, and he wants to heal you. He wants to bless you. He wants to deliver you. Let's ask for it. Let's be willing to humble down and say, hey, I need help. There's people that want to go on and on and on. And the longer you go, the worse it can get. And most generally does get worse. The Lord wants to deliver you of that. He said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to deliver you this morning. He has touched, he has healed people. One sister in this congregation lost her husband in October, I believe it was, September. She was devastated. They had a wonderful marriage. If I name names, you know who I'm talking about. She went bawling over him for months and months and months to Monarch. And one day, if I understand the story right or remember it right, she said she was out walking and praying, and she said something like this, Lord, could you help me? Could you help me? He said, if you ask me, I'll help you. If you'll go pray, I'll do it. And I'd heard her tell about it, but I didn't know the rest of the story after Rebecca was gone, and part of the family, one of the family members told me the whole story. The sister never told the whole story. They said she headed back to her cabin and fell on her knees and began to ask God to have mercy and heal me. And he did. He touched her and he lifted it and he took it away. She said that horrible, horrible load was gone. Praise the Lord. You don't know what that's like unless you've experienced it. There's nothing like that lifting. Nothing like that freedom. Nothing like that pain gone. Nothing like it. And I know of one person that can do it for you, and his name is Jesus. Won't you come? Let's stand. Let's have a song. Be a good time to pray this morning. No matter what your situation, no matter where you're at this morning, the Lord wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you and bless you. He wants to be your God.
and you be His people. We thank You for Your prayers and Your attention this morning.